Now, what is the nature of a dialectical argument? I shall now give an example of a dialectical argument. If you open the Life Divine and see the second paragraph of the first chapter, you will get an example. Now you see that the first paragraph consisted of two arguments. One is a logical argument. And the second argument in the first paragraph was historical argument. The first paragraph consisted one argument which is logical in character, and there is another argument in the very first paragraph which is historical in character, historical argument. Now let us see where is the logical argument in the first paragraph. We had pointed out yesterday the earliest preoccupation of man in his awakened thoughts is also the highest which his thought can envisage. This statement is a logical argument. It is the nature of thought. Nature of thought is such, at its highest, it will affirm whatever is the content of the earliest preoccupation of the awakened thought. Yesterday I had explained to you that this statement is one of the most important statements in the paragraph. It's a logical argument. The earliest preoccupation of man is God. God is that which exists thoroughly. That which exists thoroughly is the highest that thought can envisage, unquestionably. Therefore, this argument is a logical argument. The rest of the statements which are made in this paragraph are historical arguments. It brings the historical data. What are the historical data? You examine the earliest man, examine the periods of skepticism, you examine the present man, present preoccupations, his scientific inquiry, the conclusions of the present inquiry, and the conclusion out of it. Because of the nature, difference of the nature of the two arguments, you will find that these two arguments have different emphasis. The logical argument is asserted in a term of certainty. The historical argument is presented in terms of probability. You will see that Sri Aurobindo uses the word seems. Isn't it? Then, promises. These two words, promises and seems, are words of probability. Because these two statements come within the context of historical argument. The conclusions of historical arguments cannot be definite. This is the rigor of this first paragraph as you see it. Because historical conclusions, nobody can be absolutely certain that tomorrow this shall happen. Therefore, whenever you make a historical argument, you have to remember, as a philosopher, do not make dogmatic statements of certainty. Whenever you state a historical argument, your conclusions must have seems, probably, etc., etc. Don't make assertive statements if your argument is historical. You can make a statement in certainty form if your argument is logical in character. All right. Now we come to a third kind of argument, which I told you is dialectical in character. Now let us read this. These persistent ideals of the race are at once the contradiction of its normal experience and the affirmation of higher and deeper experiences which are abnormal to humanity and only to be attained in their organized entirety by a revolutionary individual effort or an evolutionary general progression. It's a very long sentence. Very difficult sentence, therefore deserves to be read 3 or 4 times, and we can divide this sentence into 3-4 parts, so it becomes very easy afterwards to follow. First of all, he says these persistent ideals, God, light, freedom, immortality, these are the ideals which he calls persistent. Why persistent? Because throughout the ages they present themselves. Even after periods of skepticism, they again reaffirm themselves. So these ideals are persistent ideals. They come again and again. These persistent ideals of the race are at once the contradiction of its normal experience. Now this is an argument. Argument in the sense that you are given a fact, and this fact is presented to you for examination. Therefore, it's an argument. Now, what is the examination you have to make? Sri Aurobindo says that these ideals are contradicted by our normal experience. In our normal experience, we always find matter and matter and matter. Whether you turn this way or that way or that way, you find nothing like God. You don't find light. You don't find immortality. You don't find freedom. Our normal experience is simply of matter which is dark, matter which always binds you, is a fetter, and matter is something that is perishing all the time, dissolves all the time. So, in the natural experience of matter, which is all our normal experience, does not give you any kind of a clue of God, light, freedom, immortality. So this is the argument, first of all. These persistent ideals of the race are a contradiction of the normal experience. But this sentence is not complete. It's only a part of the sentence. But they are also affirmation. They are contradiction on one hand of the normal experience, but they are affirmations of another experience, of higher and deeper experiences. That is to say, if you, however, make an effort to go beyond your normal experience, then in those abnormal conditions, you will find God, Life, Freedom, Immortality. They are affirmations of your deeper experiences. These deeper experiences come to you when they can be attained in their organized entirety. Sometimes you do gain something. If you read the accounts of many people's experiences, you find, oh, suddenly I found, I felt somebody was standing behind me. This is an ordinary experience of many people. You are suddenly alone and you find the presence of somebody around you. Sometimes. But to find the presence of God constantly, that experience in its entirety, you can have only by two methods. By a revolutionary individual effort. Revolutionary individual effort.